This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and
I gotta laugh at that always in your corner thing. I don't know. We might have to lose that. I don't think I'm always in Dana White's corner.
But it's always in our fans' corner.
Yeah, it's always in our fans' corner. Right. We don't care about you. No, we don't care about Dana White.
Episode 151, I believe August 4th. Sound about right? Sure.
Yeah.
And we're starting it off with a full house here. A little preview of what we're going to try to do. We have one contestant that's already here. Hopefully we get another two contestants.
The others didn't even show up yet.
Jimmy's dating game. Yeah, let's hope they didn't know the Facebook beforehand and gave us a picture, some look.
I told you, we should have put a picture up of Barnes.
Anthony.
We should have had Jimmy and Anthony. but not said which one was which and just been like, you know, tonight it's, you know, ladies, you could win a date with Jimmy. And they'll be like, well, which one is it?
So we're going to cover Hand Combat World really quickly and give it a little perusing. And then we're going to come back and it's going to be Jimmy's dating show here.
I do want to say I walked out into the green room a little bit earlier just before we came on. And the one contestant who is here, like, she looked at me so frightened. Like, oh dear God, don't let that be Jimmy.
Yeah. She's very pretty.
Yeah, yeah, well, she's gonna, right? She's
gonna,
so, yeah. So.
Yeah, she was going to bolt.
She was. Like, she started picking up her stuff. I was like, don't worry, I'm not Jimmy. And she was like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm sorry, I got locked out of the building. I can't come back in. That's unfortunate. So, yeah, we're just going to cover a little bit here. Summer's in Barnes can – Anthony Barnes is joining us again. Summer's a little weird with the fighting. I mean, fights happen. There's a lot
for you,
of downtime.
Right?
That's a natural hat trick for our hockey
fans. He's coming for the free snacks and beer.
I don't blame him. I'm going to be honest with you. I was going to quit last week, but I was like, will there always be meat sticks? It turns out there will.
There will always be meat sticks.
Then we're going to try to track down Emily Gale in the Hawaiian Islands. I guess it's a go. That'll be about the 8:30 Eastern mark. We're going to catch up with ESPN Hawaii and everything's going on with her and then all the good stuff she does for Detroit. So that'll be a lot of fun, too. So, but like I said, you know, summer's kind of weird with the fighting community. It continues on, but it competes against baseball. It competes against other stuff in boxing and MMA. At the end of the day, is a niche sport, and, you know, it's the third or fourth. So Dana threw out his two biggest stars in the last few weeks. We saw Conor McGregor. And, you know, he's riding the Conor McGregor train. And Ronda Rousey, who could not be a bigger star right now.
No.
So she takes care of business 34 seconds. I even posted on Facebook. People were, like, honestly thinking her opponent had a chance. I was just like, pump the brakes.
I had her winning it within 30 seconds. Everybody's like, oh, you were so wrong. I'm like, I was off by 4 seconds. I mean, come on. Let's be real here.
I give you credit for that. You were close. She doesn't win by armbar, wins by knockout.
Yeah, that was the awesome part.
That's pretty cool. And it happens in Brazil.
An impressive knockout, too. Like, even I saw it and was like, damn.
She didn't protect herself, head goes down the mat.
Damn.
Yep.
Wow.
Down. And so now she has to face Miesha Tate, because in the beginning they said that Miesha Tate would face the winner of this. And the talent between Miesha Tate, the gap, I guess, between her and Ronda is so overwhelming.
Well,
so
if that... I know, but if I remember correctly, the last time she faced Miesha Tate, it actually went to the third round.
It did.
Yeah.
And it was, Miesha has a lot of heart, but she's going to get tore up this time.
No, I agree. But I'm saying it might.
Ronda's getting better.
Right. I'm saying it might last a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
So they only leave Cyborg out there, and Dana White said that if Cyborg is to hit 135, that match would happen. But then I guess Ronda is shooting a movie with Mark Wahlberg. So, you know. There we go. If it's a technical issue, you got to go tell the people in the other room.
If what's a technical issue?
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. All right. And we are joined by the Ring Girls here, Liz and Amanda.
I don't know what just happened either.
Say hi.
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 Liz is also in her third show in a row.
Yeah.
Competing against Barnes.
Wait a minute.
We're always competing.
Are you?
But I'm always going to be the winner.
And I noticed that they've been at our three shows here in the new studio, and they always arrive at the same time.
No.
I'm just saying.
That's not true.
Interesting.
Well, they definitely leave at the same time.
And we're with Amanda, and we're going to get to know Amanda a little bit later in the show, as we always do with a new ring girl. So, yeah, that's pretty, we're going to go over a little bit of boxing, too. Mayweather has announced that CBS will not be carrying the fight. It's actually a Showtime pay-per-view. Good luck with that.
Oh.
That's going to be horrible.
He's fighting Berto on pay-per-view?
Yeah. It's Showtime announced it's Showtime pay-per-view.
Well, that's news.
Those are going to be bad numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? For whatever reason, it looked like he might have done live TV with CBS, but not live TV, but free TV, I guess.
Free TV, right.
So that doesn't happen. Triple G's official now with Lemieux, which is good.
That's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Why?
So that happens.
Because they're both awesome.
I'm looking for more in-depth.
Okay, well, they're both, like, really strong punchers.
Okay.
They both like to, like, come in forward and fight.
Mm-hmm.
Total opposite of Mayweather.
It's not going to go to decision. Probably not.
Right.
And you know what? Golovkin's having problems finding opponents. No one wants to fight him. So give Lemieux credit that he's going to fight. And, you got to go with Triple G probably as the odds-on favorite here. But Lemieux hopefully can give us a few rounds, and it's an interesting fight, you know?
It's weird for me because as a hockey fan, you say Lemieux.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking Mario Lemieux.
And, like, he totally would fight. Like,
thinking, right? Were you thinking Claude or were you thinking Mario?
Mario.
Okay.
Because he would... What? What?
What's that look for?
I know. It's like looking at me all suspicious like.
Yeah. No. Mario Lemieux, King Griffey Jr., I think, was the best baseball player to ever play the game. But he got injured and wasn't able to get the home run record. I compare that to Mario Lemieux. Mario Lemieux, when my dad took me a lot, was the best I ever seen. He was way better than Gretzky. But he got injured. He got Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very... not as easy career. I believe Mario Lemieux's records would be just out there. No one would touch him. But
right.
So I have a hot soft spot for Mario Lemieux.
Fair enough.
You know, and I don't know. Dave would have to tell me. I don't know if he still owns the Pittsburgh Penguins or not. But he used to own the Pittsburgh Penguins too.
I don't believe so.
He used to be like co-owner. Like they wrote.
No, I mean I don't believe he still does.
Oh, okay. Yeah, look that up. So
okay.
All right. Technical issue. So, but back to Ronda Rousey, because that's the talk of the town, and I don't want to oversaturate it because it's been oversaturated. But she's going to take a break with the movie, which is unfortunate. So you're looking at the Cyborg fight probably not happening until next summer. The Misha Tate, as much as we like Misha Tate's heart, the competition, the level between Ronda and any other competitor it's a huge gap, like the Grand Canyon. And so we're just got to be patient with this. And Dana needs to figure out how to capitalize. Joe Silva needs to figure out how to capitalize on the popularity of women's MMA and try to keep the momentum going that Ronda Rousey has done. Because as much as women's MMA has become bigger, it's really Ronda Rousey, and then people don't, watch the other women's MMA.
So it's Ronda Rousey and people fighting Ronda Rousey.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's Ronda Rousey and everybody else.
And
Now, Barnes, you think she's good looking, right?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ronda?
She cleans up really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. What is that look?
I know. I don't know what he has his look tonight. It's just like.
What is that look?
It's like he's like so skeptical. He's just like
skeptical of everything we're saying.
What is that look?
It's like he's like so skeptical. He's just like
skeptical of everything we're saying.
What is that look?
It's like he's like so skeptical. He's just like skeptical.
What? Something just happened.
I don't know what just happened.
Hello? We may or may not still be on.
Weird stuff we'll going
talk.
On here, folks.
We'll talk like we're still
They followed us from that other place.
We're still streaming. Life's good.
Oh, cool.
By the way, breaking news, Mario is co-owner and chairman of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, there we go. not so breaking so. Because it's happened in 19.
Well, yeah, but just you know
something. But yeah, we like to keep people informed.
Yeah.
No, Mario Lemieux, and he had the body type too. He was really, really big, so he was like an absolute stud.
Yeah.
And same with Ken Griffey Jr. I wish Ken Griffey Jr. never got injured, and he held every record in baseball. You know, he's a good guy. Seems to be a good guy. So Mario Lemieux, same situation. You know, I feel for those people that have injury-ridden careers, or Lemieux with the disease, that like they aren't able to fulfill their destiny. I guess
it is sad.
It'd be like if Luke Skywalker pulled a hamstring in Empire Strikes Back and could not fight his father.
No, instead he lost a hand.
Yeah, but then he fights his father in Return of the Jedi, loses a hand. Then we get a fourth installment. So like I mean, an injury-plagued career would be bad.
Did you say Luke Skywalker loses a hand in Return of the Jedi?
I was saying if he was to get injured in Empire Strikes Back.
Couldn't fight his dad.
Before he loses the hand. Not right. That
injury. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. I got really confused.
Right. But then he got injured in Empire Strikes Back, and
right.
It looks like the Empire's taken over for
right.
A little bit. But I'm just saying if Luke could have had a full-out-on career, maybe he's talked about like Obi-Wan Kenobi and some of the greats.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Don't know.
He just hadn't been if he hadn't taken after his dad and been such a whiny little bitch.
Exactly. You know.
It ran in the Skywalker family.
It really did, but it only did up until the point that Anakin became Darth Vader, because then he just became a badass.
Well, I'm not going to deny that, yeah. But like Luke wouldn't turn, so
no, he wouldn't, and that's why
he would have had to turn to like become a badass. As it was, he goes down in history as the whiniest Jedi.
Well, but we have to reserve judgment until we see old, wizened Luke Skywalker in the next one.
I wonder how many people don't have people skills in life and are introduced to their kids for the first time, and all they have to rely on is how Darth Vader told them in Empire Strikes Back. So it's very similar. Yeah.
Aaron, I don't am let your feelings, father. Yeah,
don't He's let, like, search your feelings.
Yeah, search your feelings.
You know it
true.
To be true.
Actually, I have the Empire paper, Church? Dad. That's why I'm here.
Exactly.
What's that?
Actually, I have the paper, Dad. That's why I'm here.
Exactly. Did you see us? There's a picture going around of Mark Hamill, like
yes.
Sitting holding a
trying to find his dad.
Yeah, holding his son is like looking for my father. Like I know he went by the name Anakin.
Yeah, yeah. He had a daughter named Leia.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
That was pretty funny.
So Jimmy, are you getting nervous? You got a game show coming up here.
I am getting nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's going to be an easy choice because there's only one out there so far.
I was going to say
there are two.
There are two now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Two.
Yeah. Always there are two.
Yeah.
There is another.
Speaking of sets, they travel in twos.
That's right.
And just for everyone's information on Jimmy's third question, with lots of alcohol.
Oh, okay.
From an Irish family.
So. All right.
Lots of alcohol for that third question. That's how we did it. And if you come to that question, you can fill in people the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
Lots of alcohol.
I'll be jumping in periodically to help Jimmy out. Because I read through some of Jimmy's questions, and they're great for him, but I think he needs a little extra help.
Yeah. I don't want to move too quick, though. I wanted to get back to Barnes really quick with Rhonda. Is it because she's an athlete? Because Danica Patrick, once again, not one of the top-looking women, but people like her because she's a NASCAR. Is it because she –
No, okay. So, for me, it's definitely because she's a fighter. She knows what we go through, and she has to do the same exact thing. So, like, you kind of, like, know what she's doing, but, like, she's also good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I agree with
attraction.
That. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the thing. Like every day, Ronda Rousey, hot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the ring, no.
And, scares the living shit out of me.
That's kind of the point.
I understand that. But, like, I didn't – like, the first time – I didn't equate that it was the same person.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw her, like, not in fighting getup, mm-hmm. I was like, that's – damn. Like, I want to fight her just so I have to be on the ground with her on top of me.
Right. I love the memes that come after her fights where it's like, that's okay. I wouldn't last 34 seconds either, you know?
That's true. I wouldn't.
There's just like a ton of them that come out. Don't worry. I wouldn't last 14 seconds either.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it. I wouldn't.
I think when she's done up and then she's in magazines, I think yes. She looked okay in the Entourage movie. I think this is it sounds like she has a pretty big role opposite of Mark Wahlberg.
Well, she was good looking in what was it? The Expendables.
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
that's Sylvester Stallone you're thinking of.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying like she, you know, she looked good in that movie. So I mean,
so you think? I mean, we who
she's
knows?
Also we like know, I mean not a lot of people know this, but she's also very into would be considered geek culture.
Right.
So like, you know, she's way into Dragon Ball, she's into like all like anime like Sailor Moon, she's gone to Comic-Con conventions, you know, cosplaying. She's entered Pokemon and Magic tournament. She has a WoW
all right, stop
avatar.
Talking.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. She's
just
not
stop.
She's not in the other room. She's not a contestant.
No, I know. I'm just saying like but that's that to me that's also what makes her a little bit hotter.
Okay.
It's because she's into that kind of stuff.
I totally agree. Yeah. I'm saying you need to stop talking.
It would be cool though, Barnes, because you like you could be dating her and tell her, well, you need to lose weight and not face the consequence because she probably is in a weight cut. So, like, it'd probably be the only time you could tell a woman
I don't know. I don't
to
care,
lose
no,
weight.
No, I don't care
think
who
you
it
could
is.
Ever tell a woman you need
never
to lose
tell
weight,
you, especially
and it would be okay.
No, yeah. Especially a woman who can knock you the frick out in 34 seconds.
You could lose seven.
Take care of that. So. Yeah,
no,
that's fine.
No,
could lose seven. I'm just saying.
No,
weight cut.
No, you never say that.
I don't care who you are. I don't care who she is.
There was a good picture going around of her at the weigh-ins, and she for the first time looked very skeletorish. So she probably dropped a lot of weight to hit 135.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what she was walking at. I don't know if they released. What she was walking at a fight, but it's funny because she, you know, maybe Cyborg and her, if she couldn't hit 135, it looks like Rhonda's probably walking at 140 if they couldn't find a catch weight or something like that.
Right. You're somewhere, meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to make it happen.
Oh, that's
right.
Another thing, too. When I make weight, I'm a total asshole. So, like,
yeah,
other
I don't
girls
call
do
you
not
that week.
Understand that.
Yeah, I don't call you that week.
She would totally understand that. Right. So.
Oh, okay. I know not to call. I'm just like, yeah. And I do that to everybody that's, you know, cutting weight. You know, it's like, I could be mean and, you know, have a 6-inch sub from Subway on a picture and send it over to them, you know, everything you can't eat, but I don't do that. But yeah, so she looked like she cut weight a little bit, but I just wondered if it was like the Danica Patrick thing where I don't think Danica Patrick is attractive at all, but maybe because she races cars, is in a car culture, people think she's attractive. Kournikova was very good looking, but mm-hmm. I think her being in tennis helped, the grunting mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Well, I think it's and, the fact that they wore those skirts.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it's who you're surrounded with, right? Like Danica Patrick is surrounded by all these like white trash dudes, so she's gonna like shine out as the hot chick.
Yeah, you just lost our two NASCAR fans.
Darn,
we're gone. They're out. Punch that ticket one too many times. I'm gonna go back in my DuPont Malibu Chevy.
Now we've lost our fans.
Yeah.
We had one left, and Brad, he just left.
I know, exactly.
He's like, hold on, I'm going to see where they're going with this.
They're still the best at interviews.
Oh, you did
though.
Not say that about the DuPont Mellow Yellow Malibu.
If I tune in for anything, it would be the last few minutes of NASCAR so they can thank all their sponsors in a minute. You know, they'd be like, hey, Jeff Gordon, you look good out there. Well, I couldn't done it without DuPont, Goodyear. Starbucks, you know, all this stuff, you know.
What was your plan?
If these 12 companies didn't come together.
I was going to turn left when I got to the corners and then straighten it out in the straightaway.
And go
and
fast.
And then just hold on tight till it was time to turn left again, at which point I would turn left.
Right, exactly.
Now, sometimes you want to turn right. You don't do that. You end up in the wall. You don't want to wall trip your ass like that. Oh, too soon? I'm sorry.
Too soon? Way too soon.
Or I was Earnhardt. Oh. I said wall trip. It was Earnhardt.
I knew who you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're going to mess around and make an Earnhardt turn.
Oh.
So no more names.
Who was it that ended up in the it was in the last NASCAR where he literally was on the inside. Somebody bumped him. His car flipped up in the air over all the other cars and, like, took out, like, the fence.
You're thinking of Talladega Nights, and that was
No,
it
really did happen.
No,
it
actually
movie.
Happened. I'll find
it. Really,
it
really did happen, but no one cares.
Yeah. No, that...
You know.
Well, that was kind of... I mean, that was impressive, though.
No, I... You know what? And actually, this is a good comparison, is that I think UFC's peaked. I think they've had their heyday, and now they got to be like NASCAR and find out where they were. I remember when NASCAR was huge, you know, it was probably like 2005, 2004. They'll never be bigger than they were then. Mm-hmm. You know, their commercials were funny. Drivers are all of a sudden recognizable and everything like that. But now they found where they're at and stuff like that. I think the UFC's got to figure out where they're at in future-wise, knowing that they've probably peaked. Although they're competing worldwide, they unlike NASCAR, they're able to go to Brazil and have a huge following.
Right.
They're going to go back to Mexico. I'm sure it's going to be lights out.
Right.
But see, where most people follow soccer, or as they call it, football, and there's no other sports. UFC has a lot of competition in the States. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just there's just so much to watch.
Right.
You know, so.
No, I totally agree.
But if Anthony Barnes was watching last Saturday, you know the world was watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I dropped another razor. So.
Anthony. So we're going to go to our first break probably here in a second because we're already at the 7:21 mark if her thing is correct, the ring girl Amanda's. And we're going to start setting up this dating game. As you know, Jimmy's been looking for love in all the wrong places. So David, Mastermind David, came up with kind of a game show
idea. Two-thirds of my implementation came to fruition.
So. Okay. All right. Not bad.
So we need a third?
No, we can rock two.
No, we got to have a third. We got to find a third. We'll find a third. Don't worry about
just
it.
Go
we'll
hit a third. And see
we'll get
happens.
A third. Don't worry about it. It might be a dude dressed as a lady. But we're going to get a third.
Nice. So we're going to come back and we'll start implementing the dating game. And Emily Gale will be on the show later. I'm sure Emily will have – she's getting into the MMA too. I'm sure she'll talk about that. She actually – when she was in town last time, she had given me press clippings from BJ Penn from the Hawaii paper. So that was really cool. So
awesome.
We'll go to our first song break and get Jimmy in the hot seat.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. Nah, come on. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Two chairs.
Brad.
Right. Oh, hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the undercard version of the dating game. So we're pretty excited about this as Anthony Barnes is setting up our stage. Yeah. But first, we got to talk a little bit about our bachelor. Our bachelor's from Hamtramck, Michigan. He comes from a theater background. He also has served our country proud. A little bit of background in some medicine also. And he's been with the Undercard radio show since day one. That is our contestant, ladies. So don't.
It's our bachelor.
Our bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to have each lady, contestant number one, come over here and tell Jimmy a little bit about herself. Just basic stuff. Don't reveal too much that he might ask in a question. So, contestant number one, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Name first.
No names.
No names. Okay, I'm contestant number one. I own a small internet marketing and social media management company. I work with some pretty cool businesses downtown. I have some friends that are pretty big into the music and party scene downtown, so we're always doing something cool. I love my Cocker Spaniel and going to Belle Isle.
Is there a pretty good chance then if you're like a social media guru that like pictures of this date and what might transpire are going to end up on the face space and the Snapchats?
Only if Brad decides to hire me to do his social media for this program. In that event, it probably would be a really good PR move.
There's right. A word for that.
And then contestant number two, come up here and say a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow that up, especially since I'm now going back to school and changing careers a little bit. I have a background in political science and tend to get a little tongue-tied, apparently.
Nothing wrong with that.
And my first job was actually overseas. I've worked with the military and with the government quite a bit.
Uh-oh.
And
hey.
Well, I guess he'll have to find out the rest by asking questions.
Oh, very good, very good. Okay. So we're going to have our contestants just kind of hang in this area. And Jimmy, you know the rules to the dating game. And basically you ask a contestant a question, she replies with an answer. Mm-hmm. At the end of this game, you choose who you would like to meet up with and go on a date with. And hopefully we can find, a dating situation for Jimmy over there.
I love Matt.
A dating situation.
Well, that doesn't sound so good.
Normally on the dating game, you have three contestants, so you ask two different contestants the same question. So I'm probably going to ask both of them the same question just for to get more, you know, more answers.
Okay, well, we'll start with contestant number one. Come over here, contestant number one. And Jimmy, ask your question away.
Okay, contestant number one. Besides the profession that you are in, if you could work in any other profession, what would it be?
Interesting. Take your time.
We're only on live.
Yeah, just we ended at 9, so.
I used to work in the high-end hotel business and was able to travel. I lived in Toronto, Martha's Vineyard in Boston, and I think if I could choose another career, I think I would go back to that. Maybe one day when the Detroit hospitality scene blows up a little bit bigger.
Okay. All right. Same question for contestant number two.
I don't believe contestant number two heard it because of how we are, so we'll let Jimmy ask the question again, and here you are, contestant number two.
Okay. Besides the profession that you are in right now, if you could work in any other profession, what would it be?
Well, that one's a little bit of a toss-up because I have quite a passion for photography, being behind the camera, not in front of it. And I also really enjoy fashion design and upcycling.
Okay.
So if I could combine the two, that would be bonus.
What is upcycling?
Upcycling is basically taking something that is considered trash by someone else.
Oh, okay. So what my dad used to do, like all our TVs came out of the trash until I was 14 years old.
Well, no, that's not quite the same. Upcycling is basically taking like an old dresser or your grandmother's old house coat and turning it into something new and beautiful by painting it, by
high five,
cutting it apart and making it a completely brand new, different item.
My mom found me in my grandmother's old house coat once, and she took me to see a very special doctor.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah. Leave contestant two there.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So next question. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
It depends on what I'm working on.
Quit trying to sneak a look. She's trying
to
sneak a look. She's trying to sneak a look.
I'm like, go back.
No, I'm playing nice. It really depends on what I'm working on. Sometimes I'll stay up really late working on a project, and sometimes I'm raring to start something new first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Contestant number one, Jimmy has a question for you. I believe it's the same question.
Yep, same question. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
My dad would tell you that I'm a morning person from childhood, which I am, but I believe that I'm a night owl. So a little bit of both. I work with some restaurants and bars, so my job can either require me to be up at 8 a.m. or, you know, shutting it down at 3 a.m. So a little bit of both, naps in between sometimes, if I'm lucky.
leave one there. Okay. And for the listeners that were listening in earlier, when Brad said with lots of alcohol, it was to this question. How did your family celebrate holidays?
Oh, yeah.
How does my family celebrate holidays?
Yeah, how does your family celebrate holidays? Is it big get-together, small get-together?
Are we talking specific holiday,
big.
Jimmy, or just...
All of our holidays are big.
Okay.
Was that a bit quiet?
No. That was Dave.
Okay.
That was Dave hitting the golden buzzer, putting you through to the next round.
No, they're big. We have a large family. My dad and my stepmom specifically throw really huge get-togethers when the holidays come around, and it's a huge riot and runs until night owl hours.
Okay.
So it's fun.
Contestant number two, Jimmy's going to ask you the same question. Do you need the question repeated? How do you celebrate holidays? How does your family celebrate holidays?
Well, let's just say someone has to be deep into a relationship to get invited to one of my family holidays because they don't want to deal with the drama. I have a very small family, and they are very emotional, and you really don't want to handle it. I certainly don't. So lots of alcohol involved usually.
Leave the drama with your mama. All right, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
All right, so if you've listened to the show, you know that I pick on Jimmy.
Yep.
And sometimes I say degrading things about him.
Yep.
Some of them are true.
Nope.
But Coming, so this should mean something coming from me. In this situation, I just want to let the ladies know that Jimmy is actually a really, really great guy. He is one of the last true gentlemen, I would say. And because of that, there are certain questions that I feel need to be asked that Jimmy is too much of a gentleman to ask. So I will be asking those questions for him. He probably doesn't know that some of these questions are going to be asked. So ladies, just remember it's...
I don't have the Jaws theme handy or it would be playing right now.
So first question of the not-so-gentlemanly ladies. And
I'm
Jimmy,
right here to
you and censor. Jimmy have been in a relationship for a while. You've moved in together. You've come home from a very tough day at work. You're exhausted. You just want to come home and relax. You get home. You see Jimmy is there in front of the TV. What kind of sandwich do you make him?
It's okay, Liz. You can laugh.
Contestant,
so
what
I'm
kind
super
of
into cooking. I'm super into cooking. That's a huge, huge hobby of mine. So probably, I think at the end of the day, something nice would be like a chicken pesto, tomato, roasted tomato, mozzarella, or some type of sandwich with that combination.
Right, she can make me a sandwich.
Yeah. If Jimmy doesn't pick you, I'm going to.
Well, it does sound like a wonderful option.
I think the Ring Girls might have just picked her as well.
Yeah. Which, you know what? I am totally cool with. In fact, I'll pay for that date.
All right. Contestant number two, same question.
Well, I do like cooking, and I do try to plan ahead, so make sure there's always something good in the refrigerator and see what he's in the mood for.
All right. Both of them get major points for just going ahead and saying they'll make you the sandwich.
Right?
Right. Okay.
So that's
which contestant do we have up right now?
It can be one. Yep.
One. Okay. All right. Contestant number one, you are stranded on an island. What three things do you wish you had?
Besides my new boyfriend who's on the show.
She's talking about me, sorry.
I know, Mara. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
Probably my dog.
Oh, it's not the deep you, I was gonna say.
And yeah, that's not in any specific order. And I'm trying to think of what the most...
Did you say your dog and Jimmy?
Yes, okay, Jimmy, yeah. My dog, and whatever type of food would be able to sustain us through being stranded.
Okay, contestant number
so
two.
So like a magic
question.
Chest that you would just reach into and it would always
I'm
have hot dogs and steaks?
Mary Poppins I guess. Bag, carpet bag.
Contestant number two, same question. Do you need it repeated?
No, I'm good. I don't have a dog, so I guess that gives me an extra item in addition to the company that would be there with me. But nice. I would want to bring a survival kit, something that would allow me to cook, fish, and
she's a thinker.
Water.
Smart. Yeah, that's a good
a
answer.
More practical, but not as much fun as having a dog with me.
Well, and you never know. There could be wild animals on the island that we could tame and become a pet. You know, you never know. I didn't hear what she said.
Oh, she said by her luck she would be abducted by a chimpanzee.
Oh. Chimpanzees, they are notorious for abducting people.
She's obviously seen Jimmy fight,
people.
So yeah, he would not fend you off from a chimpanzee.
No, Jimmy's deathly
afraid. Wait, what? No.
Jimmy is deathly afraid of primates. Not many people know that.
No,
he's
not
deathly,
at all.
Especially the chimpanzees with their wee little nubby fingers.
I was waiting for Marv to talk to contestant one about being the third item being peanut butter with the dog and Jimmy.
Oh my goodness.
But I didn't know if that was
all right.
Okay.
I think all right, it's terrible.
Who do we have?
Contestant
up now?
One again.
Okay. Contestant number one. A cashier gives you too much money back. What do you do?
I'd like to think that I'm a super honest person, so I would definitely, I believe in karma coming back around, so I would give the difference back.
Okay. Same question to contestant number two.
Well, I hate to sound like an echo, but I've worked as a cashier before, and I know how much hassle happens when the drawer is short, so I'd make sure that the amount was right.
Okay.
Now, I have to ask, when you were putting these questions together, did you give any thought to what kind of a freakazoid idiot would answer no to something? Like what kind of total free is going to go? Well, no, I'd take the money and run. Woo!
Actually, also another legitimate answer is if like you got home and you realized, and it would be to donate to charity. That would be another.
That's,
you know,
acceptable.
Legitimate,
that's,
yeah,
acceptable.
Answer. Yep. Okay.
All right, I'm going to interject here really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
With another question. Simple, ladies. Kirk or Picard?
Ooh. Which Kirk? Original or the...
You know which Kirk. Shut up. Quit trying to out-geek me, all right?
I'm just saying.
You know which Kirk.
Contestant 2 stepping up.
All right, okay. Kirk or Picard? Which is it?
Picard.
All right.
Okay.
For some reason,
I didn't ask you why. Shush.
Wait. I want to hear a reason as to why Picard.
Yeah.
This could be huge. Why Picard?
Because regardless of how long he's been on this earth, he's aged damn well.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
He's like a fine wine.
I'm going with Kirk, no question, because of Shatner.
Okay.
Right. All right. Fair enough.
All right.
Contestant 1 still has them.
All right, contestant 1. All right. What is your favorite Shakespeare play and why?
I don't want to sound like an angsty teenager that was around in the 90s for loving Romeo and Juliet. I actually have my literature degree, so okay. I think that was one of his better written works.
It wasn't because of Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't the original, right? Like, Leonardo DiCaprio
DiCaprio is not the original, aware.
No, the original was actually very high.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
The original was in 1530 something.
You know what I mean? The one with Olivia de Hussey whatever.
So a follow would be, if you could not pick Romeo and Juliet, what would your other favorite Shakespeare play be?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
Respect.
All right.
Yep.
Contestant 2 up? Okay. Yeah, and Romeo and Juliet's off the table because that's an easy one.
Very true. I'll take The Taming of the Shrew.
Nice. Okay. Also a good one.
That's pretty good. All right.
Okay.
Because it's fun to watch the Battle of Wills.
Also, I like seeing a lady get spanked.
We know that, Marv. Yes. Okay.
I thought it was you that liked to be spanked.
What song best describes your life and why?
Down in a hole.
That's a tough question. This is contestant number 1. Mm-hmm. And... Jeez.
Say Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I always gravitate towards Billy Joel whenever it has to do with anything, you know, that I have childhood memories of. I was never allowed to listen to Madonna. My parents were super conservative, trying to keep the weird sexual stuff away from us. My mom's Catholic. So I listened to a lot of Lionel Richie and Billy Joel. I think Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, which is my preferred karaoke jam, which is slow and puts everyone to sleep.
No, respect. That's a good song.
It's a good song.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, contestant number 2, same question.
Well, if you know a little bit of country and you remember Pam Tillis,
Mi Vida Loca. Cowboy.
What
is it?
Mi Vida Loca.
Isn't that Ricky Martin?
No, that's Leaving La Vida Loca.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just a little different.
Different,
yeah,
all right.
A little different. Okay.
Welcome
all right.
To my crazy life.
I was really hoping for Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. I really
All right, Jimmy. Yes. How many questions are we in? How many are left?
There's a lot left. He has like questions in like
well,
in reserve.
Well, I would say we're about halfway through the questions.
Cool.
Plus whatever Marv has.
All right, actually,
we're
going
to narrow our 2 contestants down to 2.
All right. Well,
Yes. So I'm going to go with contestant number 1.
Okay, contestant number 1 moves on to the finals.
And contestant number 2.
And contestant number 2 is on to the finals.
Excellent. All right.
All right.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, okay. Right.
Contestant number 1.
Are we taking a break now?
No, we're going to go through another set of questions, take a break, and then come back and finish up with the show.
Okay. Which is more important? Having a great sense of humor, having an intelligent conversation, being active and sporty, or being passionate about life?
Oh, my goodness. Intelligence is seriously important to me. I also love a good sense of humor, but I think you might be able to have both of those amazing qualities if you have a passion for life. So I'm going to choose that answer.
All right.
Okay, that one's going to be very hard to follow because I hate sounding like an echo. And you really need all of those qualities to have a good partner. It's
ever talking to the mic.
Someone who you connect with.
Get the mic there.
Sorry, I was trying not to swallow the mic.
That's okay.
That actually could take points away, so. Now she's not going to swallow it.
Jimmy, were you able to hear her answer?
Yes, I did. She agrees. You got to have everything.
Contestant number two, though. Yep. She's been answering.
Okay. All right, this is a fun one. A kid comes up to you and kicks you in the shin. What do you do?
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing more fun than getting kicked in the shin.
No, I'm just saying
by a fun, shitty little brat. That's awesome.
Try to get a fun answer.
Well, do I know the kid or not?
No, random stranger.
Well, if their parent is nearby, they're going to get an earful.
Okay.
If their parent is not nearby, I'm not really sure. I'm half tempted to kick him back.
Okay.
Honest answer. That's appreciated.
Yep.
So that actually happened to me today at the Downtown Youth Boxing Gym Program downtown.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a really sweet little 4-year-old who tags along in the program. They do a lot of tutoring, so he's around and my little buddy, and he kicked me today because he couldn't get my attention when I was trying to fulfill their social media requirements for the week. And I picked him up and I asked him why he felt like that was necessary and told him I didn't appreciate it. And then we moved on to coloring after he apologized.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. The answer we were looking for was give them candy, which is actually chocolate X-Lax.
All right, you want to go with one, Marv?
Oh, sure. All right. Well, this one is not necessarily ungentlemanly. This will be a logic question for you. You want to see what kind of thinkers you are. All right, so you're gonna have to apply some logic to this. A plane carrying American citizens crashes on the border of the U.S. and Canada. By law, where must they bury the survivors?
Are you kidding? The United States.
Okay. We have United States.
Contestant number two.
So they would bury the survivors in the United States. All right, contestant number two.
I think the key word here is survivors.
There we go. We have a winner.
Ding, ding, ding.
Can I resign now from this competition? That was vodka and squirt. This is my demise, clearly. Oh, my God.
I actually thought you were being sarcastic.
Bury everyone in the United States, dead or alive.
Dead or alive. All right.
All right. All right. A follow-up question.
Okay, go ahead.
This one is ungentlemanly. You and Jimmy are on you're on a stay-at-home date. You're watching a movie, and your head is in Jimmy's lap. Jimmy,
isn't on your page.
I know. Jimmy squeaks out a little, just a little bit. Do you A, raise your head up, slap him, and exclaim something like, "You stinky son of a bitch"? Do you just stay there and pretend it doesn't happen, or throw up on his junk?
Actually, none of the above. I'd probably.
That is not a choice.
You break the barrier.
All right, fine. What would you do then?
I'd probably look him in the face and go, "You better be glad I have allergies and can't smell a damn thing."
I'd do it back.
That's the answer that I was actually hoping for. Number one, what would you do? So here comes, now what?
So I'm going with option D. I usually laugh and try to make jokes out of situations like that to make the person that I care about feel more comfortable and not to embarrass them.
Jimmy's not embarrassed by his bodily function.
Then I would throw up on your junk.
All right. Next question. If you could be a circus performer, what act would you be?
A circus performer? Is that what you said?
Please say
circus performer,
a circus,
yes.
Circus performer.
Please say the bendy lady.
Oh, an acrobat for sure. Right. They get the most glamorous outfits and
land on,
get to look beautiful. Or the woman. I would be the woman with all the feathers on her head riding the elephant. That's what I would want to do.
Okay. Oh, an elephant rider. Yeah.
All right.
That's a lot to live up to, Jimmy.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of the one wielding the whip and making the lion sit at attention.
Okay.
Well, you definitely have Jimmy at attention now, that's for sure. Wow.
All right. Same contestant. Next question.
Oh, contestant number two, you are still up.
Okay. What are some of your best qualities?
Could you take that away from? Thank you.
Best qualities. Creative, usually a pretty good sense of humor, and...
Me.
Well, I can generally look at something and find something good about it.
Okay. Same question, contestant number one.
I am smart, ambitious, funny, and I have huge boobs.
That was number one?
That was number one.
Yeah, that's true.
Did she answer your question, though, Jimmy?
All right. She did.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Those are nice sweater puppets.
All right. Next question.
Contestant two again.
Sure. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Fun mounds.
You have won a lifetime award for doing something. What did you do?
Oh. This could go along with your head in his lap if you play your cards right.
Lifetime award for photographing the world.
Okay.
All right.
Showing the beauty that's there.
Oh, that's going to be
contestant number one. Did you hear the question?
I did.
Okay.
So when I went to college, I thought that I was going to be a teacher or a writer. So I think maybe if I could write something that would be moving or powerful or game-changing, I think that's what I would.
Okay. So looking up for a Pulitzer.
You know, that or becoming an ambassador of some sort. So I think that's where that would go.
Lofty.
All right. Same contestant. Next question.
Can you win a lifetime achievement for your huge boobs?
What?
No offense to you, but I've seen bigger, so.
Uh-oh. All right. Okay.
All right.
I mean, I'm not saying those aren't award worthy. I mean, you would definitely be like first or second runner up.
They're all right.
But I watch a lot of porn, so you're not going to surpass that.
Can I continue now, Marv?
I'm not dumb talking about her boobs yet.
Oh, okay. Let me know when you're done.
You know I get talking about boobies. You can't stop me.
All right. You see me across the room at a bar. You come over to talk to me. Give me your best pickup line.
Number one just puts her boobs in your face.
who is took this? The words out of my mouth. I'm in contestant one.
Okay, number. This is
okay.
Booby McBoobers.
I am so horrible at flirting and hitting on people, so I probably would. I don't know. I'm so bad at this kind of stuff.
Just guys don't really need a pickup line. Like it's just
no,
hey,
you don't.
I feel like
if I were sitting at a bar and I saw a guy that was by himself or with his buddies and he was cute, and I had a few drinks, I might just sit down and ask, you know, what he's doing or why he's here or I don't know.
Okay,
right.
That's
enough.
Fine.
I'm
that's
bad at
enough.
Flirting.
That's fair enough. Fair
all right.
enough.
Number two, flirt away.
I don't go to bars, but
okay. Well, moving on.
Okay, so you see me across a coffee shop.
Chances are, I'd cock my head to the side, look at you like I'm really confused, and go, "Where do I know you from?"
Okay.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That's a pretty
that's
good.
Not bad.
And by the way, the answer to that is the undercard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the post office on the wall of wanted people.
We're gonna do one more question, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back with the last bit of questions, okay? All right. And this one I actually took from Marv, but I liked it, and I thought it was an interesting question, so I kept it in here. When it comes to dating and making whoopee, do you agree with the statement, never on the first date, sometimes on the second, always on the third?
Making whoopee means boning, girls.
Thank you for that, Cliff Notes. I would probably say maybe on the second, depending on how hot he is.
Okay.
So fourth or fifth for you, Jimmy.
Thanks.
If it's Anthony in this room.
I don't know if I... So I have to answer with one of those.
No. Do you agree with the statement?
I don't agree with that. I'm fairly conservative. I think that, you know, sex is not something I'd like to share with just anyone. And I would hope someone that I would date in the future would have the same mentality. So I would probably say I disagree, and maybe the fourth or fifth date.
Okay.
All right. So I guess seven.
All right. So we're going to go to a word from sponsors and some music break. We're going to go in the other room and party while Jimmy has to stay here because he can't see the contestants. And we'll be back in a few minutes and get to know a little bit more about our contestants. We're going to hear a little bit about their dating history and then come back. And as Jimmy makes his final selection on the Undercard Dating Game.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, everybody.
We're
it
back.
Is episode 151, where we're doing a nice treat for Jimmy here, in which we're playing the dating game for Jimmy here. We're going to get to learn a little bit about the contestants' lives here in a second. We're going to ask them some questions. How's it going so far, Jimmy?
Good. Very difficult.
You don't have to tell us who, but is there a front runner?
Right now, no.
No.
Oh, it's
no.
A dead.
It's pretty
heat.
Dead even. Yep.
Dead
wow,
even.
Wow, okay. Yep.
So contestant number one, how is your dating life? Basically, Jimmy's here because, you know, he struggled to find different avenues. But how is your dating life going?
My dating life is interesting. I haven't jumped on the online dating bandwagon yet.
Don't do it.
Yeah, no. I've just heard such weird things from my friends that I've never been interested in online dating. I meet a lot of people through my business and a lot of interesting people, but a lot of people with, you know, the wrong motive or just interests that don't line up with mine. So I think it's definitely been frustrating. I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting someone that I can connect with somehow in the future.
Okay.
All right. Contestant number two, tell us a little bit about your dating career, dating life. Good success with men, bad success with men.
Did you say sex with men?
No.
Success.
No, he said success.
Success.
I thought it was like, wow. Brad is really going at it now. He's like, have you had sex with men? Have you not had sex with men?
Well, that's for me to know and for you to find out. But
me? Sweet!
But to make a long story short, I have tried the online dating.
And I have had sex with men, so...
Needless to say that I'm still happily single. And the last couple of people I've dated and I've known for probably at least a decade. And it's been more friends that like to socialize and...
With benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benefits are pretty good.
Nothing like a retap.
But have yet to meet someone that I'd like to wake up next to for the rest of my life.
Okay.
All right. So I was researching some 70s dating shows on my phone last night, and a popular thing to do in the 70s was to throw a twist in the game show that the contestant never knew about.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So now we're going to allow the two contestants to ask you a question, Jimmy.
Oh, all right.
So you'll be actually judging on the quality of their question while they get to know you, because dating's a two-way street.
All right.
Nah. It's a one-way street to my bedroom or a jail cell.
In order from most important to least important, what are the three most important things to you in life?
I'm just going to say we should have had her write your questions, Jimmy. That's a good question.
That is a pretty good question.
I would say
cars, boobs, and money.
I know. I'm trying to think. It would probably be love, stability, and then money.
Love, stability, and money.
Yeah. And from the most important to the least important.
Okay. Love, stability, and money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does your family fall anywhere into those three?
Oh. Well, love it. Family is love.
Okay.
Family is love. Yeah, because you can't. I mean, I'm very close with my family. We have get-togethers all the time.
I know a lot of family is listening right now.
Actually, so. They are.
I bet they are.
Yeah, they actually they are. They
so way to call him out in front of them. That was good.
Yeah, no, we're very close. But that's what it's so family is part of that because you, I mean, hopefully love your family. So all relationships, you know, blend into that category.
Well played.
And contestant number two, this is a chance to ask Jimmy a question. Jimmy judges your question, but you get to know him because dating is a two-way street.
All right. Well, part of my question got answered right before I came on the mic.
Okay.
But here's a little bit of walking back through history. If you look back at your past relationships, what are qualities that you find yourself drawn to, both positive and negative, and what are things that you view as complete deal breakers?
All relationships you learn from something from, and hopefully you take away with what worked, what didn't work, why it didn't work. Things that I maybe used to be drawn to that are I found out at a later time are actual negatives, I'm not drawn to that anymore because I know it's not healthy for me to be in a relationship with that kind of person. I would say positives that I look for, people that are caring, people that are friendly, and I look a lot at like how they treat other people, especially people that they consider beneath themselves and whether or not they do consider people beneath them. I also look for like how they interact with children, how they interact with – yeah.
Didn't they both say they would kick the kid? I think they both said they'd kick the kid.
No,
earlier.
They didn't.
One of them did. One of them said she'd kick the kid.
How they interact with children, how they interact with their friends – and things that I would stay away from are people that are shallow, people that are petty, people that are angry all the time. Those are not good qualities, and I avoid that as much as I possibly can.
That's a very good answer.
All right, we're going to keep contestant two here. Okay. Ask her a question, Jimmy.
All right. What does the phrase "to thy known self be true" mean to you?
That phrase means know where your strengths and weaknesses are. Know what are your triggers and what things will make you happy or set you off. And if you don't know the things that you react to, how can you know what makes you happy?
Okay.
All right. And Jimmy, ask the question again. I don't know if contestant one heard it. Okay. She heard it.
She did? Okay.
I would say that means don't compromise your integrity for anything or anyone. And I possess that quality. I hope you do too.
All right. All right. Marv, said you got a couple
in there.
They're
so classy. I thought like one of them would have mentioned like she bopping or something. Like one.
Whoa, yeah.
One.
That's what I was hoping for.
All right. Contestant all right, number one.
All right. Here's a Marv question for you. Ladies, finish this statement. I like my men like I like my blank because blank. I like my men.
I like my men strong, like I like my coffee, because I don't know. I just like big, strong men. That would be why.
I'll
finish it for her. I like my men like I like my coffee strong, big and strong.
Strong
so
and
I
black.
Can, so I can keep Jimmy dirt. Up yeah. all night.
What's that? What was
so
that?
I can keep Jimmy up all night.
Yeah.
Contestant number two.
Well, coffee's out, so I guess I'll have to pick something a little more creative. I like my men like I like my classic architecture. Built to last. And
with a gargoyle on their shoulder?
and ready to make history.
Oh, that's not bad. I got to be honest. I was nervous when she said classic architecture. I was going to be like, oh,
that was that was right. pretty impressive.
But that was wow. Way to turn that one around. Yeah. Contestant number two. Way to go on that.
I actually got two text messages from people that are listening to the show that are actually really jealous of you, Jimmy, that we're actually doing this. And then I fired back, for a price, we'll do this every week.
Oh,
you
absolutely. Know, like, yeah. Like, right.
Everything has a price.
Right,
so
we
could stop covering boxing and just do dating.
It could be a new show.
If there's that much demand.
So actually, you know what? Just to be fair, I want Jimmy to answer this too. Jimmy, I like my men like – no. I like my women like I like my blank because blank.
Ooh.
Like, I like my women like I like my Verners in the can.
Like he, apparently, like he likes his size, heavy drawn and out.
With a faint whiff of caramel corn.
I'm trying to think. I know what I want to say, but I'm trying to think of an object that's like. I know, I'm trying to think of an object that's like that. I can't think of an object that's like that though. That's
you
the
like
the
your
problem.
Women like you like a polo player.
I like
ride.
My women. I like my women like I like my. But the answer to it is
59 Chevy with big tail fins and big headlights.
The answer to it is soft and strong, but so I can't think of an object.
Roll of paper.
Ready to be crapped all over. What?
Soft, strong, and ready to take my shit. That's actually wonderful. Turns out that's how I like my women now.
All right.
All right. So contestant number two, come over here. Okay. Jimmy, how many questions are we down to?
We got one, two.
We have two left. Go, just do two. Come on.
Okay. Two left.
This is gone.
Two
left.
Contestant number two.
All right. So I got to pick.
So you do one, then I have one more I want to do, and then you can do another one.
Okay. If you ruled the world, what would you change?
Ooh.
If I ruled the world, what would I change?
Yes.
The way people treat each other.
Okay.
If I could make a lot less negative energy and a lot less hate happen, that would definitely be the makings of a better world.
Okay.
All right. Contestant number one, it is your time to answer the question.
Changing the world is a huge job. I feel change needs to happen in your own backyard first. So I would try to set the example by doing as much good and positive work that I could in our own city and in my own community.
Okay.
Like in the Iraq. Right.
Contestant number one.
And such.
And such. Okay.
And thus. All right. So another question for me. This one, and I actually made Jimmy answer this one earlier. Maybe we'll tell his answer later. All right. This is a variation on. Do you ladies know the Mary Screw Kill game?
Oh yes, of course.
Okay. So this is a variation on that. All right. We cleaned it up a little bit. All right.
Okay. We're ready.
So your choices: work at, visit, burn down.
Okay. All right.
The Pentagon, the Playboy Mansion, the Library of Congress. Work at, visit, burn down.
Oh, man.
Pentagon, Playboy Mansion, Library of Congress.
Can you ask someone with a literature degree who's wanted to be a librarian or writer from day one? I would want to work at the library. My horrible side wants to visit the Playboy Mansion and party, but I'd visit the Pentagon and burn down Hugh Hefner's house.
Okay, well. Okay. Actually, we'll talk about this in a minute, but we're okay with that, actually.
Yeah. And so are the feds. You won't go to jail for that answer.
Right, yeah.
Hold on. Here we go again.
Well, at least one of those is easy. I used to work at the Pentagon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Playboy Mansion.
Oh, I wish. I don't have the boobs for that.
But, I'll be the judge of that.
Work in the Pentagon... visit Library of Congress, and unfortunately, sorry, Hef, you're on fire.
Okay.
So actually, we in discussion of this, we said that that was fine because if you burn down the Playboy Mansion, the bunnies are all going to come running out. Some of them are inevitably going to be nude, and they're going to be looking for somebody with medical training for to give them mouth-to-mouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're out.
I would give chest compressions.
All right, we are down to Jimmy's final question.
And run the risk of popping a
so we are going to have contestant two go first. Final question.
All right. You just got a bunch of money that you must donate to a charity. What charity would you choose and why?
Oof. Well, I'm fairly sure that the other contestant would choose children because they are the future.
She also kicked one earlier today.
No, I did. But I'd actually find a an animal charity to donate to because humans, to some degree, can take care of themselves or at least speak for themselves, but animals don't have that ability.
We are the most dangerous prey.
All right, and contestant number one. Do you need the question repeated or do you remember? You remember?
I remember, and sorry for my outburst. I thought you said that I kicked a child today, which I definitely did not. He kicked me. So, yeah, I guess the contestant number two is correct. I would give all of my money to the Downtown Youth Boxing Gym program, which I love so much. And I love what they do and what they believe in, books before boxing. So that's where I'm at.
All right.
Did you say what, books before boxing?
So, Jimmy, this has been a tough decision probably. You've had an opportunity. So we are going to let you pick your winner. And we decided that we were going to give $40 tonight for you to go on a date to wherever you want. And then
$40 will take you.
Right. And then maybe next week we can do the love connection to see if there's a possible second date.
Okay. Can we go to a song for a minute? And then
yeah.
Come
oh my God! Yeah, it is so close, ladies. Yeah. He needs a song break to get.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. So.
All right. So we're gonna to one more song, and we will be back. And then we got Emily T. Gale from Hawaii coming up in a few minutes.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
All right, welcome back to The Undercard, episode 151, where we put Jimmy's dating life on the airwaves.
The tension is palpable.
On podcasts. So forever. Goodness. It is forever.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so we are going to bring the contestants closer to their chair here. Jimmy has come to very tough decision. He had to even go to a song break. So
He's been agonizing over this. He's just been over there just like, like clutching his head. And it was, I was like.
So, Jimmy, would you like to really quick, because we do got Emily Gale come up, would you like to thank the contestants or say anything
absolutely.
To him before you guys pick?
Absolutely. And, I mean, it really was a very difficult decision. Marv was right. I agonized over this. I really did.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
And then for everyone that was ripping on the $40, as Bob from the IT and the D show pointed out, that is 2 for $20 at Applebee's, a couple daiquiris, and a tip. So that's a nice gift. Jimmy.
All right.
Just the tip.
Jimmy, who are you going with?
Oh, my God.
I'm terrible at that game. I get overzealous.
I am going with contestant number one.
All right.
All right. Congratulations.
Wait, hold on, though.
Number one.
We are going to allow him to meet contestant number two. Contestant number two, come over here and give Jimmy your first name.
Lil.
All right. So come around and give Jimmy a hug over there.
Yay.
Thank you for playing.
She's so relieved. She's like, oh, thank God. I was trying to get out of the way. All right, and as I told you out in the green room, since Jimmy did not pick you, I am your consolation prize. Yeah.
Exactly. She was out when she heard the two for Applebee's. She's like, I don't want to be picked. And now, contestant number one, say your name really quick to Jimmy and go see him.
I'm Emily.
Yay!
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
He
no
went
one's
with
getting
boobs.
A picture of this.
He went
no
for
one's
boobs.
Getting a picture of this.
His freaking chair just ripped my pants.
No one's getting a picture of this.
Well, where are you going?
Oh, yeah.
You
she's like, let me get me the hell out of here.
I didn't like to invite both of you guys to stay around for the last half hour. We have Emily Gale on, and you guys can feel free to ask questions. Emily Gale's an awesome guest. We've had her on a few times. But we'd like you to sit around the table and join us for the last few minutes here. All right. So, Dave, if you are ready. Jimmy, if you want to take her in the other room, get to know each other, or hang out here and interview Emily Gale, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All right. That's not going for it,
Did you get the
Jimmy.
$40? All right.
Jimmy, don't be a fool. Wrap up your tool, dude.
You can have a seat over here and we'll talk.
Seriously, this chair
Lil, join us.
All right. And through the power of Skype, we will be...
Power of Skype compels you.
It's magical.
Through the power of Skype, we will be calling Emily Gale. Emily Gale from the ESPN Hawaii Emily T. Gale Show.
I'm going to have her call us.
Okay. She's going to actually call us. So this is very exciting. Emily T. Gale has been up to promoting Detroit around the world since we'll let her get back into the stories of it, but since the 70s, and always great to have her on the show. So as she's calling us... I wanted to talk to contestant two a little bit.
Lil, she has a name.
I know.
Okay.
I'm still in game show host
gotcha.
Mode. Lil, a little disappointed or not really?
How many microphones do you... Oh.
I kind of figured I was a warm body to help fill in the blank.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
No.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if they... I don't want her to feel bad, but all of us picked you.
Aw, thank you.
We did. We all... Together, we all talked to each other, and we said he's got to go with two. So...
Thank you.
Now, we were discussing, while we're waiting for Emily to call, if they end horribly, and then Jimmy on a drunken night at 2:30 in the morning was to contact you, even though you weren't chosen, would you give Jimmy a chance?
If
he did
I'm
have
awake
to take
at
a while.
2:30 in the morning, okay. He'd probably end up getting quite an earful.
Oh, okay.
Push her to the mic, Dave. There you go.
Okay, so what if he contacts you at any time, if it doesn't work out with Emily?
I'd be willing to meet him for coffee.
Oh, wow. And that actually, that's one of his first date ideas. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
That sounds very Jimmy Pache.
I will say this, though. Here you go.
Oh, we got a call. Hello, welcome to the undercard. Hello.
Emily.
Aloha.
Hey, Emily. Not to get you too excited, but you are the first call-in guest on the podcastdetroit.com network. So, congratulations.
Hey, I am excited. I've been listening the last couple of weeks. It shows.
Oops.
She might be the last call-in.
Oh, we got a bad connection with you. Can you hear us, Emily?
I can, very well.
Okay, now we can hear you. Tell everybody about the Emily T. Gale Show. I was promoting it. It's podcast on ESPN Hawaii. And tell everybody that did not follow us over from the old network, say nice things about Detroit. Give a little bit of introduction to yourself.
Okay, well, the Emily T. Gale Show, ESPNHawaii.com, is online at ESPNHawaii.com. Also at my Facebook page, Emily T. Gale. And iTunes free podcast, Emily T. Gale Talk Story. And I talk about Detroit. I talk about Hawaii. I talk about sports, life, and all. Everything comes back to people and interacting. Like when I had you on, Brad, Rochelle, we talked about how we met. We're mutually supportive. We got into the history of Tommy Hearns and boxing and a lot of the promotions that Herb and I did back in the day. And I've been able to get enthused about what you're doing with your shows and getting out in the community and educating people about MMA. And so what I love about it is just talk story about people and with people.
That's great. And you have been doing podcasts probably when they first started. You are on episode, how many are you on? I don't want to misquote it, but you are on a very high number.
I have no idea, but I've been doing it for about 5 years. What I love about it is that I can mix so many people from Detroit and Hawaii. For instance, next week I've got Isaiah McKinnon, who's the deputy mayor of Detroit. And I'm sure you've met her and know him. And he was a cop on the beat when I had Emily's Across the Street in the 70s, and we really kicked off the Say Nice Things About Detroit movement. It was never a slogan as much as it was a movement and a grassroots feeling. It was in an era when there, nobody was making Detroit t-shirts. There was nothing like that. We were the first to do it. And so I went and met up with Isaiah when I was in town a couple months ago, and I'll be back again next week. But we talked about old times. We talked about new times. We talked about all the great things that continue to happen and people like yourself. I love your energy. And all of you guys on the show, and the ladies today, I just see so much awareness of life, and I like listening to you talk and the answers you gave, and that's what I try to do on my show, is give people a chance to be who they are.
Now
I'm embarrassed now that she was listening and heard me ask those very ungentlemanly questions.
She's aware of your
okay,
your
good
humor.
Emily. Yeah. I have to ask.
Let me just toss in there. I got to tell you, today, feeling and hearing you guys, Jimmy and Marv and all of you, asking the questions and responding in such a gentle way a lot of the time, you know, as opposed to when guys are talking to each other like you do a lot on the show.
I've been called a lot of things, Emily. Gentle is rarely one of them. So thank you.
Well, it's a nice side of you, and it's fun to hear it and know that that's, you know, we're all made up of all kinds of ways that we are, but that's really fun to see that. And, you know, I could liken that into, like, Detroit, right? People always say, well, you're always acting like everything's perfect, and it's, no, it's not everything's perfect. We're all working on certain parts of us that need work and other parts that are really doing well. And in the 70s, I used to say that about Detroit, you know, and that's how we came up with Say Nice Things About Detroit. They call it, everybody was calling America all over the world, and people didn't want to come out of their offices to come into our store and ways across the street. They were afraid, and it was just, you know, hey, let's focus on the good things and be grateful for everybody that's worked so hard to make the changes.
Now, as you said, the slogan you came up with in the 70s, you flew it over states for people to see because Detroit was getting a bad rap nationally. And then it's come back. Whole Foods has it. Shinola has adopted it. How proud are you that when maybe in the 80s it wasn't referred to as much, it's come back and now is part of this resurgence of Detroit? How proud does that make you feel? And what is the next, like, say, 2.0 version for your Say Nice Things About Detroit? What's the next version for it? What's it mean now in 2015?
Well, to go back to the original, the first part of the question of how proud am I, I'm very proud because I feel the reason there's so much awareness, the reason Whole Foods has it on their wall, the reason Shinola picked it up is their hashtag, Say Nice Things. The reason Richard Branson with Virgin Airlines, he put a segment in his big poster when he announced his flights and said the current campaign, Say Nice Things, was actually created in the 1970s by small business owner Emily Gale, who campaigned for people to say nice things about the city. What I like is that it's my guerrilla marketing over the last 7-8 years that has created that awareness. It was the same thing that happened back in the 70s. We didn't have social media. We didn't have fax machines. We did it in a certain kind of energy that I still see myself operating that way. In the last 7 years, every trip I've made back to Detroit has been about that. I come back here and work on it from here. Look at how we've become friends. How did we meet? We met in the Kinko's. Now we've spent 3-4 years being supportive of each other, all saying nice things about Detroit. And I'm proud because I feel that it's my efforts and people like yourself and all the new generation that have picked up on it that have, like, scooped it up. And I call everybody caretakers of it. But I feel like I got out there and got an energy rolling to it and got all these caretakers and all of you. Everybody's just been wonderful. So I think it's made an impact. I hear it, like, Ira Glass on his PBS show, American Life. People reference this. Frank Bruni writes a column for the New York Times. They don't always reference it in a nice way. They might say, oh, yeah, like a slogan's going to do it. But those of us that use that phrase, we know that it's more than a slogan. And you and I have talked about this when we've done the show and when we all just met, you, Rochelle, and I. It's much more. It's in the hearts of people. It's like what all of you are doing. And sometimes you can't even describe it. You just have to live it.
Yeah, exactly. And Dave and Bob, who started the podcast Detroit Network, IT and the D, their pink slip parties was to help people find jobs when the economy was bad. And look how that's grown. We always say it's little people doing little things, and it all combines into great energy.
and organic. It's authentic. It's organic. It's not, you know, people sitting down and drawing it out on, oh, we'll do this and we'll have this slogan and we'll print this many of this. When it's organic and it's born out of our, I always call it pulling your life behind you. You're like pulling it along. You're living it like the Tao Te Ching. You know, do your work and get out of the way. You don't really know where it's going. You're just doing it every day as you feel like you should do it. And that's how we were back in the 70s, you know, with the Emmys across the street, putting on the very first run in the street to Detroit and told by Chief Jim Bannon, no, you can't have a run in the streets. You got to go to Belle Isle. And we were like, no, we want to prove to people that it's safe to run in the streets. We never knew it would grow to the size it did. We worked hard at it. We went broke doing it. But nevertheless, you know, it's the cycles of things. Every one of you that are in the studio there today, as I was listening to you, I could feel your passions for kind of what you do. You know, you're there all under the undercard today, but there's something else that's going on with each of you that's doing great things in the city. You can just feel it.
You know, I thought...
And that's the cumulative effect.
I was going to say, I thought about you the other day because it was announced that Tim Allen is going to be the Grand Marshal of the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And I thought, okay, so we can't get 2015, but I thought for... I don't know how the undercard can do this, but to start the movement, I think for 2016, Emily Gale should be the Grand Marshal of the Thanksgiving Day Parade. We should have her back in Thanksgiving.
Let's
maybe
do it.
We can start a hashtag movement. I think
I love it.
We'd love to start a movement.
I think it should be with Shinola, too. In fact, Jacques Camus, I spend a lot of time with them, and you know, I call them caretakers of it with the hashtag. But you know, I already have a vision in my mind, not that I got it, but I've had other people say that to me, and they've already put it in their head what it looks like. So I love that they put it out there, and that you have that feeling, too. I would love it. Tim Allen is doing that. I had an opportunity to be on Tim's show when my brother had a role on the show and happened to be there when they were filming. And I loved it because Tim said to Max, oh, you're Emily's brother. And he deserves it. That's a really nice choice. I had not heard that of yet. So thanks, Brad. I love it. I'll jump on board that hashtag. That would be a lot of fun.
I think, you know,
it would connect the 70s and 80s with what's going on today in a really organic way. And what's going on is very exciting. As you know, every time I'm there, we hook up. And I love being there. And it's just a delight to see how many different people are doing how many different things
now
to make a cumulative effect of good things.
Now, I want you to give a shout-out to the stores that carry Say Nice Things About Detroit. Now, multiple stores are carrying it. If people want to wear it and be proud, it's still vacation season. People still go on Labor Day. It's probably a really cool shirt to wear out of the state. Where can people get your shirt currently?
It's funny. The City Bird has it, and the City Bird, they make them themselves, and they make stickers and products that say nice things about Detroit on it. When they opened their store, before they opened, they wrote me a letter. My parents ran in your run. We used to come in the store as kids. Can we use your phrase? And I wrote back, first of all, thanks so much for asking. And absolutely, isn't that a natural with your name being Emily? That's the universe working.
Yeah.
You should be doing that. Yeah. And then the other one is Chris Gorski with Detroit GT at Rust Belt. He's been fantastic, and he had it on his website that I was his inspiration as a kid. And people used to send me notes, what are you going to do about it? There's guys making things with this, you know, phrase on it. And all I said to Chris is just put my name on it, and we've become best friends. So any of the Detroit GTs, there's one at the Rust Belt, and there are about 10 different shopping centers around the state, including that store up in Traverse City. And the Historical Museum will probably have them, but they're doing it themselves. They're the ones that asked me if they could do it, and I said, yep, and I'll get the word out for you. And it's been really fun because it's from their hearts. It wasn't like, oh, that's a neat slogan. Let's see if we can use that. It was like they grew up with it.
We've been seeing T.J. Samuels on Facebook. He just made a stencil. I know that he had tagged you in it, and you had commented on it about and he's been putting it in the car.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Michelle. TJ has been fantastic. In fact, I just sent him a stack of bumper stickers. So anybody that starts sending me things like that, you know, and they're doing it out there, we've all become friends, and we talk, and that's great. TJ, I love what he's done. He even put it at a central, I think, over at the Heidelberg Project, and on the sit on it Detroit benches.
Yeah, he does there. The
and back in the 70s,
thing.
I had benches up and down Woodward that had say nice things about Detroit at the bus stops.
Yeah.
So it's you know, anybody you see doing that, you've been great about directing me to people, but it's not me. It's everybody, and it always was that way. I used to say we came up with it. We threw a banner in Florida because everybody was saying, "Aren't you glad you're out of Detroit?" And we said, "Hey, why are people talking that way?" That's how it all started. We happened to see people on the sidewalks in Fort Lauderdale, and they're like, "Aren't you glad you're out of Detroit?" That's how that whole thing started. But once it got rolling and people get on it, it's such a natural kind of thing. It's the same thing we should do with our friends, too. I think one of your contestants said that they could get people to talk differently in the world. You know, how much would that change the world? And that's all that phrase says, is we do it not just about Detroit, but really about everything.
Now,
and that's what I like about Shinola picking up the hashtag, say nice things.
Now, Emily, you said you're coming back to Detroit next week?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll be, and I'm going to hook up with a Emmanuel Stewart sister who's gotten in touch. It's really fun. You know, I sent her your interview.
Oh.
And it's fun to keep connecting. The guy who writes about PJ Penn over here a lot, the Hilo.
Yeah.
Love to have him get on your show. I know he would enjoy it. And that's kind of what my show is all about, connecting people back and forth and talking to interesting people myself.
Well, if you have time next Tuesday, definitely come up to the studio. We'll have you in here. I would love you to meet Bob and David and stuff like that. So we'll be in touch next week. Thank you for joining us. We wanted you to, our first phone call was special, so we wanted it to be you. And so thank you very much for being on the show.
I love it, Brad, and I love the show, how we met, and just the friendship that's developed from that. And I'm looking forward to meeting Barb and Jimmy and Dave and everybody. It's already been on my calendar for Tuesday.
All right.
Next Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Emily.
Bye.
We'll talk to you soon.
Aloha.
All right. I love it. Emily Teal Gale says we were going to do the interview for ESPNHawaii.com. We had some time conflicting, and she's like, "It's all right. I'm on Hawaiian time." I think I've always been on Hawaiian time, but yet never to Hawaii. So I like that Hawaiian time whenever we get around to it. But she made me feel very comfortable. It's like, if you can't do it at 5, call at 6. I think we ended up doing it at 7:30. But I wanted to address we do have a segment here in where we get to know the new ring girl. And we do have ring girl Amanda here. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
All right. Very cool. So you got to hang out with the undercard. Kind of cool. David set up this dating game thing, and we helped out Jimmy and stuff. What did you think of the show?
I think you guys are really silly.
Okay.
Like to have fun.
She looked at Marv when she said that.
Yeah, what's that about?
Because you're the silliest one.
No. You know what? I'll take that. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Silly,
I've been
dirty,
called.
Same thing.
Did you say silly and dirty?
Yeah.
Oh, you should see me on a good day, girl. I was pulling it back. That was me toned down.
Mm-hmm. So we always let you describe yourself to the audience. Hair color, eye color, your best feature, how tall you are. So
the stuff that matters.
Give the listening audience a little bit of your look.
I have reddish brown hair, blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably like 5'6".
I can go with that.
Mm-hmm.
What is your best feature? What do you get the most compliments of?
Either my eyes or my smile.
Okay.
I was going to go with eyes.
Eyes.
Mm-hmm. Followed very closely by boobs.
Boobs?
Yep.
Mark, keeping it classy.
Followed very closely. Very closely.
Silly and dirty.
So tell
y'all are thinking it.
I didn't mean to hit that, though. But whatever. So tell people what are you involved in? What do you do away from the undercard? Get people to know you a little bit.
Away from the undercard, I work a lot. I work 4 different jobs, and then...
Doing what?
I work at 2 different
You don't
bars.
Look Jamaican?
Yeah, what the heck? You could pass for Mexican, though, so... Puerto Rican.
I work 2 different jobs at bars in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I work for an adult beverage company.
Okay.
And then I also do...
Please say, adult bookstore.
No.
Dang.
And then I also do a lot of different promotions and modeling. So I just kind of categorize that under the 4th.
Very cool. Okay. And for everybody that likes to know, what is your age? Early 20s, right?
I'm 24.
Right, so I'm
you're a baby.
24. Very
getting cool. up there in age, almost a quarter century.
Almost.
Almost.
Now, almost. What do you look for in a guy?
What do I look for in a guy?
She looked right at me. Did you see her? She looked right at me.
I saw it.
She looked right at me, Anthony.
She's like,
yeah, right at me.
They all fall in love with Martin.
Yeah.
Found my soulmate here on the radio show.
Yeah. She's going to say short, pudgy, and funny.
Pretty much. No.
Dang it. Come on.
They have to be funny.
All right,
I
me.
Have to get along with them like they're my best friend.
We can make that happen.
I like to see how they treat other people. People all right. who not that won't necessarily do things for them in return.
All right, I'm losing it.
Yeah,
you're losing.
Shut up, Rochelle.
You're out.
No, I'm a very nice person. I have a persona on the radio, mm-hmm. but I'm a very nice person. Yeah. Mostly.
She did start off with funny, so maybe she's fallen in that Marv gaze or that Marv tractor.
Marv's gay?
No, no.
all right, look, college is expensive, all right? So maybe once or twice. But
were you saying $80 to touch a wiener earlier?
What happens? No, what happens in the breaks stays in the breaks.
Yeah. No, I said it would be $1,000. And I would hold it while he peed.
So then what were you talking about $80 for? Because you said 80.
What? No, you said 80.
Oh, never.
I was offering $80. See, if Jimmy had picked Lil, number two, who I said he should have picked, then I was going to double the amount that he could spend on the date. I was going to give him another $40. But I said she'd have to touch it. And then you said that you would gladly do that for $80.
I said 1,000.
Well, I heard 80.
No. She denied that she would do it for 80. She said maybe 1,000.
Well, that's not what I
heard. It was Liz over here that said depends on looks. She had a variant quote system.
It's a sliding scale for her, really.
Yeah, yeah, sliding scale for sure.
She's like, we could finance something if you're good looking.
Yeah. If you got piercing.
Like Art Van, same as cash 2 years later if you want, if you're good looking.
Well, I'm out.
Zero down 2 years later. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to bring in, because we're running up against the end of the show, we're down to our last minutes. I wanted to bring back in Jimmy and Emily, if they can hear us over there. I don't believe they can. Oh, yeah, we would like to bring you back into the show and see how things are going.
No, we're not playing the game because Barnes is here. We don't play the game when Barnes is here.
Barnes would win.
Because he's
plus
a ringer.
Jimmy. We'll have her in again. You know, and see what happens.
All righty.
All right.
So how's everything going out there, Jimmy?
All right. First of all, Jimmy, zip up and you pull your shirt. Pull your yeah. There you go. Pull
put
your
it
dress
back
down.
In.
All right.
Going well. You know, we're talking. We don't want to go too in depth with questions or anything like that because we don't want to ruin the $40 date.
It wouldn't ruin the $40 date.
Right. I gave 40.
You guys are gonna have
Marv
lots
gave nothing
to talk about.
I gave nothing. No, whatever. You know,
we've
what?
Talked about quite a bit. We were talking about our families and. You know, past relationships and
we're not
what
supposed
else?
To talk about that.
You guys can talk about boxing.
Well, that's
oh,
what,
yeah.
And she said, sorry for using your dating game as a vehicle promotion for the down.
No, that's
as I said, this works perfectly for our show.
Yes, totally fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually also work with the new gym that's going to open down.
A nude gym? Damn it.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, a nude Brazilian gym would be awesome.
It's awesome.
Shut up and take my money. Exactly. Like I will write you a check right now.
And my brother also is a Muay Thai fighter out in Utah. He fights in Vegas, and he's going to Thailand in the fall to train. So I feel like we probably have a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
very
and
cool.
Give a shout out to the gym you were talking about in Detroit because I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk
the
about
downtown youth boxing, the downtown gym youth boxing program. It's a mouthful. Doing really great things. Actually, we were saying before that it was kind of a books before boxing. Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
You said mouthful.
Right, Dave. Cue Dave. Yeah, it's really great. They really promote discipline and education before they get into the fighting stuff. And they have quite a few children enrolled in this program and a 500-child waiting list, which is kind of heartbreaking.
Wow.
It's a really popular program. We were talking about earlier how Eminem just collaborated with Title Boxing to do the Southpaw thing, and they used the kids from the gym as their promotional models for their products. Katie Couric was just at the gym filming to do a program, and just overall has been getting a lot of attention lately.
I'm sorry if I missed it. How many kids did you say are in the program right now?
There's a couple hundred kids in, maybe less than 100 kids in the program.
So 100 actually. Kids in it and 500 who want to be in it.
Yes.
So what's it going to take to get these other 500 into the program?
Funding, donation.
Open up another facility.
Well, yeah, like, so well, what, they just went what from do we an
extremely
do?
Small facility to a significant improvement, and it's just donations, as little as giving us used books. That's, you know, something that I'm on constantly to, you know, larger funding opportunities. We're always doing fundraising, et cetera. So I guess just keeping that ball rolling.
All right. And I know you're the master of social media. Where can people find out more about the Downtown Boxing?
You could go on Facebook. That's a great way to start. Or to the downtownyouthboxing.org on the website. That's a great place to start as well.
Okay, very good. I do have to ask you, though, had you seen a picture of Jimmy before?
No. Okay. You know what? To be completely honest, I wasn't entirely made aware of what I was doing.
Okay. So, that's probably good. Good job, Dave.
What Dave just said,
like, hey, what are you doing tonight? There was a dating game or something.
He's like come
that.
On up tonight. The worst that happens is you get a free meal.
I was like, we have booze and beer. What could possibly
Bob
go wrong?
Stole my, that was my two for 20 at Applebee's comments. So, yeah.
So you're excited about it then. She's like, shit, $40? Hey, no, you can get for $40.
Then you can buy me a cocktail. Right? So I'm down for that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to see Jimmy tonight and stuff, and it sounds pretty good. We'd love to let you guys plan, no pressure when you have the date, but like to plan it. And then we'll switch it and maybe do like a love connection, talk about your first date, like Chuck Willery.
Yeah, oh, we're that's happening.
And then we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, chicks loved Chuck, dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely.
Let's see who the audience selects for Jimmy. Now, Jimmy, if you go with the audience selection, we'll pay for that second date. But so we'll let you guys decide and everything, and I'm sure as we like to talk to Jimmy, I mean, we air our personal lives a little bit on the show, so I'm sure we'll get to hear a little bit about it. And you're always welcome, Emily, to talk about everything you're doing and stuff like that. You know, Anthony, he shows up every week. You could too. So.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
We love Anthony. Exactly.
We went like a year on the show. Didn't see Anthony at all. We got a new studio, and he's here.
Now he's just loitering about.
He's like, I live 5 minutes away.
I did mention that. Like, we have a lot of randoms that show up these days. That never happened at the old place.
Who would want to go there?
Well, no, it did happen. It just wasn't the people you wanted hanging around.
Like,
there would be random people wandering in, but you're like, there's no crack here, and you can't sleep there.
The porn studio's 3 doors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Well, that's where Barnes was at all the time.
Is that at the Roswell Industrial Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like I said, we didn't have a whole lot of randoms that just popped in to see what we were doing that night.
No.
Yeah, no.
Didn't no.
Also didn't
no.
have snacks.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah, that's the real reason he's here is the snacks.
Yeah.
We kicked it up a notch.
Hey, he brought some.
I'm just saying. That's what, you know. I got no problem. I love that Barnes is just loitering during our show.
At the old location, you needed at least 12 booster and vaccinations to go in.
Yeah,
here, you're pretty
right.
safe with you know, just your randoms you've gotten over time. So.
Right.
Yeah. It's shocking for me to go into the bathroom here.
And it's nice.
And
it's
yeah, I'm fun. Like, oh, and, there's and, not a like a water
like
heater and a
stabbed at any moment.
Yeah, like
we have mirrors and lights in ours.
I know.
I'm totally comfortable. Like you guys know, like I never let the ring girls like leave the studio by themselves.
No, absolutely not.
I'm comfortable letting them do that here. But at the old place, I'm like, and they all thought I was a pervert.
Escort, yeah.
Because I was like, I need to come with you, and they're like, you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I do. I'm not a pervert. I mean, I'm gonna watch you pee. Don't get me wrong, but that's secondary to the reason I'm going with you.
We gotta do our thank yous. First, we gotta start off with our two contestants, and I know it was a tough decision for Jimmy. So I want to thank Lil. Thank you very much. And I do want to thank Emily. for joining us. I want to thank Anthony Barnes for sitting in. Anthony Barnes, his family, the undercard. You're always welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
You know, it was great. I know you got to see Jimmy through this process, and you were here to support him, so that even means more to us. I want to thank our new ring girl, Amanda. I want to thank Liz for sitting in. David for working the board. Rochelle for all she does. Marv, just being Marv. And then Bob over there from the IT and the D, who's sitting in the green room, and we want to thank him for everything we do. We will be back next Tuesday. Emily T. Gale will be actually in, so we'll talk a little bit more about her. Barnes, she was around during the Kronk days when, like, Amanda used to have the open workouts outside.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
She was very involved with the Kronk back then. And then we'll talk a lot more boxing and MMA next week. So good luck, Jimmy, on your date.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to everyone soon.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.